Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
You ever open up your photo albums and you start looking at pictures and you realize, what was I thinking? I mean, somebody should have told me about that outfit, or I should have realized that plaid pants would not always be awesome. And I can see when I look at pictures and I think back to other times in my life, how I would have thought, like people might have thought back in the 1800s or 1700s about, oh, that wasn't this life, that was my past life. Because when I think about other times in my life, high school or college, or maybe you were married before, or just in a different place, a different space, a different job, a different place in the country, it almost seems like another life, like it almost wasn't even you. But there is proof that it was you, because we have pictures, kind of like high school. High school is like one of my past lives. Who wants to see a picture of me in high school with hair that is like 4 inches high off the top of my head? So there's a picture of me and my girlfriend together, close up. This is me and my friend Rachel. You probably don't know which one's me. I'm the blonde. And only one type of hairspray will do that to your hair. It is called Aquanet. It's like 99 cents, and it is so strong. If you spray it on your wall and put a picture on it, it will stay forever. And I'm just wondering, what in the world made me think at my height that I needed to add 6 more inches to my head anyway? I look like a rooster. So high school was like one time in my life, and then I remember when I was in the corporate world, and you know, Banana Republic is what I wore, and I was all about business, and I wore my little suity suits every day to work, and they put it up already. There's me, and that's Austin, since he's not here. Look at little Austin in his short pants. Isn't he cute? But there is me in my little Banana Republic pants and my Meg Ryan haircut. That is when You Got Mail was popular, and can you see the size of the foam that is clipped to my belt? It looks like I stole that off of somebody's bedside. And then we have another picture, and I retired. Don't put it up yet. I retired at age 30 from the corporate world, and we decided to just chill out, take some time, and we decided to breed horses and live in the country. So I had dirt under my nails, and I had ponytails, and this is what I looked like back then. I was on top of a horse all the time. Go ahead and put that up. That is us, riding horses, being crazy. How many of you know I have a lot of different looks and a lot of different past in my past? Yeah? Wow, you guys are quiet. Hi. Those pictures took you so off guard. It's like, I didn't know she was so crazy. I have a lot of different past in my past. And it seems like different lives, and I believe that we have things in our past that either the enemy keeps bringing up to us or that we try to forget and we wish was actually another life. You see, the enemy will try and tell us that we are what we did, we are what was done to us, and God says that we are what he says we are. Amen? But the enemy will try and bring up things like, oh, I can't believe that you cheated on your spouse. I can't believe that you lied at work. You're just a cheat. You're just a liar. Or you're just a stealer, or you're just a failure. I remember that class you didn't pass. You're just not smart. He'll try and tell us about the things that we did, and we'll get stuck in that place thinking that those things are true about ourselves. And those things aren't true about us at all once we repent and we get underneath the Jesus blood. You see, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and when his hands stretched from here to here and he gave his blood for us, and we put ourselves under the blood of Jesus, God washes us white as snow. And he can't even remember the things that we did in our past. He takes those as far as the east is from the west. So if the enemy tries to haunt you with your party past, your drug past, your liar past, your cheater past, your failure past, your rejection past, you just let the enemy know, that's not me anymore. My God has redeemed me from those things. I'm not what I did. And if he can't get you what you did with what you did, he's going to try and get you with what was done to you. I was having dinner with my girlfriend this past week, and she was telling me about how her dad molested her when she was young. Then he left the family when she was 9 years old and left them with her uncle, who also molested her. And then he would leave her with another friend of his to be babysat, and he would molest her. And she was telling me, it was so hard for me to trust. It was so hard for me to get married. It was so hard for me to have children until she figured out who she was in Christ Jesus. And God came into her life and he healed her heart. And she's been married for 12 years and she's actually in ministry. God can do amazing things. So the enemy will tell us, you are what you did. You are what was done to you. But God comes along and says, no, baby, you are what I am. And you are what I say that you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ. So the enemy will, or your inner me, or your self-doubts, or your lack of self-confidence, or even somebody who doesn't like you very much will tell you that the promises of God, or the promises in the Bible, or the bonuses, or the blessing of God, that you don't qualify for those for some reason. They're going to tell you you're too old, or you're too young, or you're too black, or you're too white, or you're too loud, or you're too soft, or you're too fat, or you're too skinny, or you're too smart, or you're too dumb. They're going to come up with some kind of reason that you don't fit. But I'm here to tell you, the first two words right here in this scripture that we're reading right now, it says, if anyone. So if you think that you've been disqualified because of your past, what you've done, what was done to you, or any other reason, I'm here to tell you that you are in anyone. Anyone is anyone. Anyone is everyone. And anyone doesn't leave anyone out. So if you are in anyone with me, will you give God a hand clap of praise, letting the enemy know, I am in anyone, and this promise, it counts to me. It says, if anyone is in Christ, which is like, what does in Christ mean? That is so weird. Does it mean like I go crawl in his lap? Does that mean I live in his house? Does that mean that like I cut him open and I crawl inside of him? That's just too weird. So what does in Christ mean? In Christ means something like, I was turning through this magazine and I saw a picture of this purse and I thought, oh, that's cute and sparkly. I hope it's on sale at Charming Charlie's for like $19.95. I'm gonna go buy me one of those. But when I read the caption about the purse, it says this purse was $400,000. It wasn't covered in little plastic, little sparklies. It was covered in actual diamonds. So it wasn't what the purse was made of. And I couldn't actually see, was the purse canvas? Was it satin? Was it red? Was it blue? What was underneath the diamonds? I couldn't see that anymore because the caption said the purse was encrusted in diamonds. What the purse was irrelevant because of what it was encrusted, what it was covered in. What it was covered in gave the purse the value. So you don't have to worry about trying to establish who you are and your value in and of yourself because you are encrusted. And that means God is out before you and God is behind you. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is above you. He is below you. He is wherever you are going to go before you even get there. If it's even the place that you're not supposed to be. Because he goes out before you even if you're going on the wrong road. So he can be there to help you get back to the road that he has for you. Which is a road of victory and a road of blessing. Somebody give God a good amen for his goodness. Amen. Dave Byer, I think that there is a microphone left on because somebody keeps clapping and I can hear them tapping on their microphone. So if anyone is in Christ, it says he is a new creation. All things, they're passed away. All things have become new. It means your past does not matter. It means what you did does not matter. It means what you has done to you, it does not matter. It means last night after repentance doesn't matter. It means what you did on the way to church today after repentance does not matter. Because when Jesus washes you clean, it's all the way clean. There's no residue. There's no sticky spot left. It's all Jesus, his grace, his love, and his mercy. You know, there's a joke about a lady who was going to church and she was in a hurry because she was running late. I think she was at Rider Trail trying to make a left right here. And she's like, I don't want to park at the shuttle parking lot. I don't want to park at the back parking lot. I want a spot by the door. Don't make me late. Nobody here knows what I'm talking about. So she goes and there's the guy in front of her. He stops at a yellow light. She's like, you have got to be kidding me. She starts yelling. She starts screaming. She starts doing crazy thing until she hears a knock on her window. She looks up and there is a police officer. He says, ma'am, could you please exit the car and put your hands up? She ends up getting booked, fingerprinted, photographed, and thrown in a cell. Several hours later, the police officer comes back and he says, "Ma'am, I am so sorry for this terrible mistake. You see, when I was behind you in your car, I saw you flipping that guy off, yelling obscenities and going crazy. I got very confused because I looked at your bumper and it said, 'Follow me to Faith Church,' with a bumper sticker, 'What would Jesus do?' with a little fish emblem. And I automatically assumed you had stolen that car." Look at your neighbor, tell him, "That's the old me. That's the old me. That's the old me." Some of you are wondering, "I didn't know they had a camera on me last week." You are not what you did. You are not what you've done. You are what God says you are. And God sees things in you that you don't see in yourself. You know, Simon was one of the 12 disciples. Jesus only picked 12 guys to hang out with him. And Simon was one of them. Simon, the name in Hebrew, is like a totally common name. If you found a coat in Bible days and it said Simon on it, and you're like, "Hey, Simon, here's your coat," 20 guys would stand up. Everybody's name was Simon. "And I know my name is Simon, and the things I draw come true." You guys remember that guy on Channel 9? Who remembers that guy? How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? No way, shut up, you guys didn't watch Channel 9? Okay, Sesame Street. You got Sesame Street? All right. This guy came on after Sesame Street. Okay, well, forget that guy. So anyway, this guy's name is Simon. And so Simon, I think they chose a man of common name for one thing. Because I think the enemy comes to each and every one of us, the inner me and the rest of the world, and tells us that you're common. There's nothing special about you. You're just like everybody else. Why do you think you have the right to shine? Why do you think you have the right to rise above? What makes you think you're better than everybody else? The enemy will come and try and stuff you down all of your life to keep you from shining, to keep you from your blessing. But Jesus identified Simon, and he knew Simon wasn't just some common guy. And so he called that out in him. And Simon, when he got close to Jesus, he was able to see who Jesus was. And he said, "I know that you're the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Simon, on this revelation is a rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church. I change your name from Simon, and I call you Peter, which means rock. You're no longer common. You are now special." God sees things in you that you don't see in yourself. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was that third generation. You hear it said about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Jacob had a twin. And so when they were in the belly, his twin's name was Esau. And as Esau was trying to get out first, which would give him the birthright, which would give him the blessing, Jacob grabbed his heel and tried to pull him back. I think my sister tries to do that same thing to me in the womb. You know what I'm talking about? He tried to pull it back, just like a brother would. And as he came out, they named him Jacob. And Jacob means trickster and supplanter. Now, I would like to just, you know, admit to you, I did not know what supplanter meant. So I just looked it up in the dictionary. And when I looked it up in the dictionary, it said that supplanter was somebody who illegally tries to take somebody else's position. So every time they said his name, they were saying, "Hey, you, trickster, the guy who tried to illegally take Esau's place," that was his name every time he heard it. Well, Jacob went on through life and he found God. And when he found God, he wrestled with him. And I don't know if you've ever wrestled with God, but I have wrestled with God about a few issues in my life. Some my past, some my present, and some I was thinking about my future. And I brought it to God, and I'd like to tell you I'm all like, oh God, I am so holy. But I'm not. I'm just human. And there are times when I go and I wrestle with God. Sometimes I talk to God. Sometimes I yell at God. I'm just being honest. So Jacob goes and he wrestles with God. And when he wrestles his God, God sees something in him that he has not seen in himself. And he says, "I'm changing your name from Jacob and I'm changing it to Israel." And Israel means contended with God, and it means triumphant with God. I'm telling you right now, the world might have called you a trickster, a cheat, a liar, a supplanter, a trying to get by, a trying to make your own way, a try to climb a ladder and try to hold you down because you knew you were destined for something better. But when you're with God, God says, "You know what? I did create you for all that, and I change your name to triumphant with God." God sees things in you that you can't see in yourself. He did the same thing with Abraham and Sarah. Their names were Abram and Sarai. And Abram, high father, Sarai, a noble woman. He was always destined to be a father, but at 90 years old, he didn't look like a father because he didn't have any children. He looked like a failure. He felt like a failure. And I don't know what you've been believing for a long time, and you haven't gotten it, but you see yourself as a failure, but God sees things in you that you can't see in yourself. And so eventually, God comes to Abram and says, Abram, I'm changing your name to Abraham because you see yourself as maybe potentially a father of one, but you think you have failed. But I see you as a father of many nations, and I see you as a father of a multitude, and that's what the name Abraham means. And matter of fact, while we're at it, let's just change Sarai's name and let's change it to Sarah. She is a noble woman, but let's elevate that to princess and let her know that she is a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, just like you. She is a king and a priest. And if you're married to princess, Abraham, that makes you a king. So you're not only a father of nations, you're also a king. So I'm here to let you know today, you are a king, you are a priest, you are not a failure. It hasn't been 90 years yet. God sees things in you that you can't see in yourself, and he is calling that greatness out of you. It's who you are in Christ. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God sees things in me.
Yeah.
How many of y'all follow us on Instagram? So Instagram a little while back, I posted this picture, and it's just an iron horse and a little girl, just a little tiny picture, just this girl and this horse. God doesn't see her that way. God sees her big. God sees her on a steed. God sees her on a unicorn. She sees herself, and the people who pass by, they only see a little girl on a little bitty toy. But no, when God looks at her, he sees greatness. He sees her bigger than she is. It's like a shadow. It's not real. You can't touch it. It's not in reality just yet, but it's on its way there, and she's growing into it. You're just like that little girl. It might not be here just yet, but you are growing into these great things. God sees things in you that you don't see in yourself. While we were at Daystar last week, while we were there, they wanted us to take a personality profile type test, this life languages thing. And so we're like, okay, well, we'll take this. And when we did, they were getting ready to read us the results. And it's like, well, you know, sometimes people don't like the things that it says about you. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me what you don't think I like. It says, well, it says that you're hard on yourself. And I went, psh, guilty all day long. Oh my gosh, I look in the mirror every morning and I'm like, what is this? Where did this new wrinkle come from? I used to look like this and now I look like this. How does this even fold over like that? I mean, I don't understand how it works. Why did this part stay up but this part fall down? Somebody give me some wrinkle cream. And then if you got wrinkle cream, why do you still need zit cream? How do you possibly need both at the same time? I'm like, hard on myself, I get that. I'm not worried about that. So they're like, okay, well, let's move to your strengths. I'm like, cool, let's do that. So they're like, well, one of your strengths is that you're strong. You're a strong woman. I said, whoa, just back down now. They're like, well, what do you mean back down? I'm like, what do you mean I'm a strong woman? Like I'm an Amazon? Like I look funny? Like I got muscles in the wrong places? Like I don't cry enough? What do you mean strong? And they said, no, strong is a good thing. And I said, no, strong is like a yard of onions. Who likes strong? And the strong is your strength. You're supposed to accept that about you. And I started thinking, you know, the enemy is such a creep, right? He's going to try and take your strengths. He's going to try and take your gifts. He's going to try and take those things that God put in you on purpose. And you might even be wondering what that is right now. That's the fact that you talk too much. That's the fact that people say, you are so bubbly. Could you dial it down a little bit, please? Give somebody else a chance to talk. He's going to take that strength for you to communicate and talk to people and try and make you dial it down. Or if you're on the other side of the spectrum, if you're a fantastic listener, people are going to say, you are so quiet. You are just a wallflower. You're going to get passed up your whole life. You got to get out there and you need to speak up. No matter if you're this or you're this, whatever your strength is, the enemy's going to tell you that strength is not worth it. And he's going to try and tear down the very things that God gifted you with. The enemy tries to get you to hate your strengths. So I had to look at this thing and I had to say, okay, well, the Bible says Ephesians 6:10. The Bible says that I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, I might not cry as soon as the other girls cry, and I might not be quite as flowery and cuddly as the other girls are, but guess what? If my friends are in a battle and my friends are in a war, guess who they call? They call me, because I'm going to link arms with them, and I'm going to stand with them the whole time. I'm going to pray with them and maybe pray all night if we have to. When they start to fall down, I'm going to pull them back up and tell them, baby, everything is going to be okay. I'm going to be with you, and God's going to be with you, and God's not going to leave you, and I'm not going to leave you, and I might be strong, but I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong like my daddy. I look like my daddy. And my daddy is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and the God of gods. So take that, devil. Take it right back to hell where you belong in Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor, say, he made me the way he wants me. And I'm going to like me that way. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. We listen to these lies for too long. We started believing it. We started believing that we're not worth it. And when we start actually embracing our strengths, the enemy tries a whole new trick. He goes ahead and he starts picking on our weaknesses. He's like, well, okay, maybe you started believing some of the good things about yourself, but I know you're never going to get over the bad things about yourself. And he starts the sentence like this. Well, I'm just, and then you fill in that blank. Well, I'm just a mom. I mean, I'm just a checker at Walmart. I'm not a senior checker. I mean, I'm a vice president, but I'll never be a CEO or my own company. It doesn't matter what end of the scale you're on, what end of the spectrum you're on, the enemy will pick on you at any place in there because he wants you to think you're never gonna be because you're just a. And if you're just a, you think you're stuck. And I remember my first job, I got hired at McDonald's. And I took the job at McDonald's. One of the major reasons was they were the only people who would hire me. And I started working at McDonald's and I was a counter girl. And it didn't take long to be at McDonald's as a counter girl to realize I was just a counter girl. Because if you were a counter person, what you really wanted to be was the drive-through person. The drive-through people were cool. They walked around with their little headset on. They weren't tied to a register. And they'd be like, can I help you please? And they'd be making the drink and getting the food and taking the money and ringing it up all at the same time. They had freedom. They could run about the store. Oh, how I wanted to be a drive-through person. And I finally got my chance. So I start working in the drive-thru and I'm doing lunch and I'm doing dinner and it's going okay. You know, ketchup and mustard, hamburgers, fries, I got this. And then they move me up to the big leagues. I get to do a Saturday morning. If you wanna see McDonald's crazy, you go to McDonald's on a Saturday morning and you mess with the old person's coffee. Goodness. So they put me in there, different menu, different everything, and out of habit, I am taking ketchup and mustard and I am putting it with the pancakes, and I'm not even thinking about syrup. I am shipping it out the door, and people are leaving. Doesn't take long for my manager to come up to me because the customers are parking, coming back inside and saying, I do not want ketchup and mustard with my pancakes. I need my syrup, please. And my manager comes to me and says, you're giving away ketchup and mustard and it is costing me my bonus. You are not giving away service that is eating up my time. If you want to go back to being just a counter person, you keep this up and I'm going to pull your hide out of drive-thru. Do you understand? Yes, ma'am, I'll give out the syrup. I went home and I promise you on my life, I had dreams and panic attacks about giving out syrup. Because I didn't want to be just a counter girl. It doesn't matter where you are or what level you're on. It doesn't matter what part of life, if it's professional, if it's personal, if it's emotional, if it's spiritual, if it's relational. The enemy's going to come to you and he's going to just put you in just a certain place so that you stay repressed, so you stay pushed down, so you stay out of the way. There's a leadership guru who writes books. I read most of his books. And one of the things he said, never work on your weaknesses. If you're like a two in an area, if you read and study and get training, you can maybe become a three. You can increase by one. But if you're like a six or a seven, if you're naturally gifted in an area and you read and study and train in that area, you can be like a seven, an eight, and a nine, and people stand in line for nines. That's not what the world tells us, and it's not what the enemy tells us. The enemy tells us, work on your weaknesses. If you're not a good listener, you really need to work on being a good listener instead of, hey, you're a communicator and you know how to talk, so let's work on how good you talk and how good you communicate. He's trying to help us focus on the bad so we can miss improving on the good. I tell you what, it says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says, when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong in divine and powerful strength. When I am weak, he is strong. When my flesh is weak, he is strong. And when I was at McDonald's, my flesh would get weak. You see, I would get hungry and I would have Big Macs and fries and Big Macs and fries and Big Macs and fries and Big Macs and fries. And eventually you get tired of Big Macs and fries. So I would go to the apple pie machine and I would get the hot apple pie. I would get it out of the box and I would put it on the lid of the Big Breakfast. Then I would walk myself over to the ice cream machine And then I would put the hot ice cream directly on top of the hot apple pie. And when you do that, the ice cream melts just a little bit. And then I would walk over to the caramel dispenser and I would put the caramel on top of the ice cream. I would look at my manager and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm making myself something to eat." She says, "That is not on the menu." I said, "Charge me for a hot apple pie and a caramel sundae and leave me alone." I would go down to the break room and it tastes like heaven. I am telling you right now, when you have your cheat day and you're getting your dessert, go to McDonald's, get a caramel sundae, a hot apple pie, and an extra piece of styrofoam. Dump one on top of the other and call me in the morning because you're going to be so happy. What was that even about? What is she talking about? Your flesh is weak. You have weak moments, and it's okay. As long as we lean on, confidently rely in God, and we press on Him, as long as we do our part to press in on Him, He's gonna fill in those gaps. Romans 12:2 talks about the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Good is a G-A, acceptable, P, perfect. It's the G-A-P, it's the gap. God is gonna fill in the gaps in your life. Don't worry about those gaps. He's got that handled. You do your part. You trust in Him. You believe what He says about you. You know that you're His child. You know that He is your God. You lean on Him and He's going to be strong for you and rely on you. Can somebody give God a good amen? Some good theology, but some bad grammar is this: God don't make no junk. He just doesn't. He doesn't make junk. He likes you the way He made you. He made you on purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. Uh-huh. Masterpiece in the Hebrew is this word poema. It's kind of fun to say, poema. I never know how to pronounce that stuff because I know that word, but I'm just going to be honest and tell you I don't speak Greek or Hebrew, right? But I looked it up and it means poem. It means that you're a poetic song to God. When He made you, He made a poetic song that will praise Him. And I can relate to that just a little bit because when I get really happy in my house, even though I'm a strong woman, when I get really happy with my family and happy with my babies and I just start, you know, feeling it, I make up these songs. Then I sing them off key intentionally in like a little kid voice. And I just get happy and my husband comes in the house and they say, "Oh, Mom's got her puppy voice on." And I go, "Oh, I love my little babies and they're oh so good. I take them everywhere with me. I take them to the hood. We go all around and I keep them with me. These are my babies. It's how I want to be." And I just sing these funny little stupid little songs. But that's what God hears. And that is what God says to you up in heaven. He sees you living how you're living. He sees you believing in Him. He sees you growing in faith. He sees you believing what He says about you. And then He's up in heaven and He just makes up unrehearsed songs and He says them about you. And He says, "That is my little baby and oh, I love him so. And when they come and praise me, this I know that I'm going to go out before them and I'll clear the way so that they can walk to the future. Oh, I know I'll make a way. I am their God and that is my child. And when they see the life I have for them, they're gonna go wild." And He just sings these songs in heaven and they're cute and they don't always rhyme, but He's singing them about you because you're the baby. Tap your neighbor and say, "I'm the baby." And it's good to be who you are and not somebody else. There's a story about an usher at a church. There's this little old lady and she needs help walking in. He goes right up to her. He's like, "Oh, can I help you?" She says, "Yes. Can you please take me to the front row?" He's like, "Oh, ma'am, you don't want to sit at the front row. Our pastor is boring. You might fall asleep. You might just want to leave. It's your first time. Why don't you stay here in the back?" She says, "Sonny, do you know who I am?" He said, "No, ma'am, I don't." She said, "I'm the pastor's grandmother." He said, "Excuse me, ma'am, do you know who I am?" She said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Good." Be glad you are who you are and be super glad you were not that guy. Once you know who you are in Christ, once you realize what God really thinks about you, you start to identify with your identity. And once you have your identity, your gifts automatically start to flow. Destiny starts to open up. You automatically start to know your purpose. You automatically start to go into the eternity, to the future that God has for you. You were born an original. Why die a copy? God doesn't need us to parrot somebody else. So last week while we were in Dallas, we met with these book people. I'm writing my first book, and to be honest with you, I'm pretty petrified about it because I have never done this before, and I don't know how to do it. And I believe my personality profile when it tells me that I'm hard on myself, right? So I wrote these chunks, and I'm giving them, and I'm expecting them just to slice me, dice me, tell them 27 million things I did wrong. Well, they read it, and they go through it, and they're like, hey, we kind of like this. This is pretty good. You know, we got to fix these few things over here, but we can work with this. And I said, really, you can? And they said, yeah, we got to fix this stuff, but here's this thing you did right. You know your voice. They said, so many first-time writers, so many speakers, they don't know who they are. They don't know their voice. So what happens is they listen to somebody else or they read after somebody else and they try and become them. Which I know is incredibly true because when we're getting ready through the week, we just listen to lots of podcasts. We watch the preachers on YouTube. And I like to listen to this guy named T.D. Jakes. Y'all know Jakes? The problem is if you listen to too much of Jakes, you try to be Jakes. And he is, in case you don't know, a mid-50s, 250-pound, bald black man who has a gravelly voice and can get a crowd really riled up in a moment. And he uses these elegant, sophisticated words like supplanter that I have to look up in the dictionary. And he spits when he preaches, and stuff goes everywhere. And he works up a sweat. And then when he sweats, he has to get a towel and wipe off his bald head. And if I try to wipe my head, I'm going to mess up my hair. And right when the crowd starts to go wild, he stiffens up his back. And his legs go like this, and he says, oh, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And no matter how hard I try, I'm never going to be a mid-50s black man, bald, 250 pounds, who uses big words and preaches that crowd into crazy. I just am who I am. And you are who you are. And you're either gonna fail, I will fail if I try to reach who T.D. Jakes is supposed to reach. But I will succeed if I try to reach who I am supposed to reach. And you will succeed if you try and be who you are supposed to be. There is no better me than me, and I'm the best me that I can be. And if you will just be who you are supposed to be, you will be incredible. You will see glory. You will see God bless you. You will see God happy, and you will hear God in heaven sing happy songs about you. Say amen. Amen. And I'm going to close with one little thing. We're going to do something just a little bit different. I'm in the middle of reading The Power of I Am. I read slow when I read Joel's stuff because it's so good. And I write my own book on top of his book. I just write all over the place. But there's some pages that I like, and it's page 13 and page 14. And it's some declarations. And if you have the book, if you're in an iConnect, I would earmark it. You can see my little pages all earmarked. I would earmark this, and I would read it every day. And actually, I'm going to ask you to stand up with me. And we're going to read these declarations together. I'm not gonna say them and you're gonna repeat them. We're actually gonna say them together. And I don't want you to say them like, I am blessed, I am prosperous, I am successful. Because that's what the enemy will try and get you to do. He'll try and make you feel dumb in this moment. Like, this is dumb, I feel dumb. Because he doesn't want you to release your faith. See, when you release passion, you're releasing faith. You say, I can't believe I did that. I hate that, I'm stupid. You're releasing your faith in that direction. You need to say these with your faith behind it, knowing who you are behind it, knowing this is what God thinks about you behind it. Matthew 18 and 19, whatever you bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We are about to loose these statements over your life. Are you ready to do this like your T.D. Jakes? So say this with me. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am prosperous.
I am prosperous.
Let's say it together. I am successful. I am victorious. I am talented. I am creative. I am wise. I am healthy. I am in shape. I am energetic. I am happy. I am positive. I am passionate. I am strong. I am confident.
I am secure. I am beautiful. I am attractive. I am valuable. I am free. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am anointed. I am accepted. I am approved. I am prepared. I am qualified. I am motivated. I am focused. I am disciplined. I am determined. I am patient. I am kind. I am generous. I am excellent. I am equipped. I am empowered. I am well able. And I'm a child of the Most High God. If you believe it, say amen. Glory to God. Who feels better? Yes. That is what believing about you, what God says about you, is true. God sees things in you that you don't see in yourself. And before we're seated and watch the testimony, I want to pray for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if this message was for you, if the enemy, the enemy, your stupid neighbor, that guy at work, somebody has been pushing you down and making you believe anything besides the truth of what God believes in you, and you needed this message, would you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Almost every hand in the building, online, on TV, in this room, I just pray right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare that we have the mind of Christ. We decree and declare that we know who we are, created in Christ Jesus. We know we are your masterpiece. We know we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The wisdom of God is coming to us. The knowledge of God is coming to us. The strength of God is coming to us. And God, we are going to step into that destiny that you have for us. We're going to approach with boldness. We are going to move forward in strength, knowing that our God has gone before us and made a way for us. We love you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. If you believe it, shout amen. Glory to God.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com.